If you are looking for the meaning of life in life, you won't find life.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why so few people find what everybody is searching for.
You'll never get it, because as soon as you think you have it, you lose it.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. The Declaration of Independence says we have the right to pursue happiness. But what it doesn't say is that we'll never find happiness unless we pursue something completely different. Dr. Evans will tell us what that something else is as he begins a powerful series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's join him.
A man was asked about his life, where his life was going. And he said, well, I'm going to finish high school so that I can go to college. Well, what then? Well, I'm going to finish college so I can start my career. Okay, that's great. What then? Well, then I'm planning to get married and have a family. Okay, what then? Well, then I'm going to raise my kids and get rid of them when they become 18. Well, what then? Then I'm going to look forward to retirement. And when I can don't have to work anymore and travel and see the world. What then? He said, well, then I'm going to die. What then? The question of life, what it is, how it works, what it means, is it worth it? What is this thing called life? God knew we would have that question. And he knew he would have to provide an answer for that question. And we're Christians, all of us, hopefully. And I know we can talk about eternal life, but sometimes that gets disconnected from the nasty here and now. And we want to know, is life worth it? Particularly when you have to go through the ups and downs and pains and stresses and struggles and disappointments and inconveniences of this thing called life. A lot of time and money and energy is spent both by Hollywood, by Madison Avenue, by businesses. And if you will pay close attention to so many of the commercials who promise that that product will give you life, that is, will give you either happiness or joy or meaning or wash your troubles away. It will give you something that will make you feel alive. You look at the things that people do to help them feel alive, to feel like life is worth it. Then you look at the people who give up on life, either because they throw in the towel and stop living in any practical way because something is missing. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book about life and how not to waste it, where you're not seeing and living life as it was meant to be seen, understood, and lived. 12 chapters that wants to explain life. For many of us, life, it's events, you know, you feel alive when you're in that event or in that place, at that location. But I don't know if it's like that with you, but I certainly have had my share of them. Something happens, you get excited, it looks like you've scored a touchdown only to have a whistle blow and call back the play. You know, you get something fixed, something else break down. You know, just this up and down thing. Sometimes it's like a firecracker on the 4th of July. The sky lights up, boom, gets dark again. You're just looking for something to last. Life. Solomon is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the core of what he's going to tell us, tell you and me as we work our way through the book, is simply that a philosophical perspective on life disconnected from God means you don't get to live. That life, as you and I would call it, when disconnected from God means you don't live. So what you have to do is establish a saccharine existence, sugar substitute. You have to keep finding things to make life life, because the life you want is empty. It becomes a placebo. There's no real content in it except the temporary things you fill it with to make you forget that you don't have it. He starts off his book after identifying who the author is in Ecclesiastes with the summary of the book. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He starts off the book telling you he doesn't have anything to talk about. I mean, that's how the man opens the book. He opens the book, let me translate it, empty, empty. Says the preacher, empty, empty, all is empty. Well, let me give you another synonym. Meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher. Everything is meaningless. Vanity means meaningless, purposeless, without real value, fleeting, or transitory. He says, all in life is empty. That's how he starts. Now, I hope he doesn't go down from here, because we're already at the bottom. He lays out his thesis at the beginning of the book. And what he's going to go into is how you look at life from a human perspective. That's why you'll see throughout the book this word vanity, and you'll see as in verse 3, which he does under the sun. Under the sun means on earth. So he's talking about man's view of life from earth's perspective. So he's being real earthy. He's being nitty-gritty here. He's being real. He's not talking pie in the sky. He's talking nasty here and now. He's talking under the sun. That is where people live, work, play, raise families, and all the other stuff in life. And he says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Now, he is highly qualified to be the author. He is very qualified. He is qualified because he has experienced everything that life could throw at you for you to find the meaning of life in life. In today's dollars, Solomon would be a billionaire, a mega billionaire. He would probably be the richest man on the planet if you were using today's dollars from when he lived. In other words, if you could buy life, he could afford it. When he became king, he made a request. That request is recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon is being anointed king, and he makes a prayer. He says in verse 9 to the Lord, so give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? It is a prayer for wisdom, an understanding heart. He says, I need to know how to make good decisions. He says, because this thing is too big for me. This responsibility that's on my shoulders is too big for me. And I won't know how to make the right choices. So give me an understanding heart. God tells him, verse 11, because you've asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life or riches for yourself or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment and understanding justice, behold, I did according to your words. I have given you a wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one be like you to arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor. So I gave you what you asked for, and I gave you what you didn't ask for. So I guess by way of parenthesis, maybe we should change what we're asking for so we can really get what we want. Okay? And you asked me for the more important thing, not for what people think is important, because the reality is, if most of us, if not all of us, learn to make better decisions, okay, then we wouldn't be dealing with some of the things we're dealing with. Okay? So he asked for wisdom. Fast forward to chapter 11 of 1 Kings. Chapter 11 of 1 Kings. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. And he lists the different countries and cultures in verse 2. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. So his relationships drew him away spiritually from God. His relationships. And so he accepted idolatry. Drew him away to other gods. So when you're reading the book of Ecclesiastes, you're reading a man between the answer to his prayer, chapter 3, and the result of his departure, chapter 11. He has departed from God. When you read now in Ecclesiastes, you're reading about his return and the experiences in between. So you're looking at where he started, where he departed, the experiences within his departure, and the lessons he's sharing with you and me upon his return. So that gives you a framework for understanding his thinking. He's going to let you know through this book, he has tried it all. In his departure from God, and he doesn't want you and I to waste any more of our lives than perhaps we have already wasted, and to remove ourselves from the word he uses, vanity, emptiness.
When Dr. Evans returns to continue our message in just a moment, he'll tell us more about why all the new problems we face in our culture today aren't really new at all. Before he does, though, the lesson we're listening to is the first in Tony's series, How to Avoid a Wasted Life. In this powerful collection, Dr. Evans takes a deep dive into the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, helping us understand the fleeting nature of our time on earth, while making sure our existence counts for something of everlasting value. Through these lessons, you learn how to find joy in life's simple pleasures, and discover new ways to cultivate meaningful relationships that can enrich your life and the lives of those around you. There's a lot packed into this powerful series, and all 9 messages are yours as our gift when you make a contribution to help support our work here on this station and others like it around the world. And as an added bonus, we'll also include a copy of Tony's insightful book, Experiencing God Together. In it, he shows how loving and serving others is a powerful way to experience God more deeply in our everyday lives. To take advantage of this limited-time offer, visit TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222 to speak with a member of our resource team. I'll have our contact information for you again after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
On the Unbound Podcast, Dr. Tony Evans brings honest stories to light. Guests bring thoughtful insights on topics like love, marriage, and how they relate to faith.
There's something about being seen in your pain. I wouldn't allow myself ever to admit how lonely I was.
It's not wrong to ask God questions. It's wrong to question God.
From broken marriages to restored hope.
God still raises marriages right from the dead.
Unbound with Dr. Tony Evans.
Listen and subscribe to the Unbound podcast on Dr. Evans' YouTube channel or on your favorite podcast platform. Right now, let's get back to today's lesson from the first chapter of Ecclesiastes.
So let's go through this chapter and at least get an orientation of his thinking. What advantage, verse 3, does man have in all of his work which he has under the sun? He says, a generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains the same. He says, what is the lasting benefit to what I do? You ever felt like you're just wasting your time, spinning your wheels, just going over the same thing over and over again? What he says is that people come and go. You come and go. Life comes and goes, generation after generation, and the earth just keeps rolling along. Okay? Just another generation. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. You live, you die, you pass on. They live, they die, they pass on. Your grandkids live, they die, they pass on. Generation comes, generation goes. And the earth just keeps rolling on its axis and rolling along. And you say, why? Why? The transitory nature of life. He says the sun rises, the sun sets, verse 5, hastens to its place. It rises there again. It's just this thing that happens. It's day, it's night. You know, I wake up, go to bed. It's this routine. And you look at all the things we do in life to break the routine. Because it's so predictable. He's wrestling with this. Things come and go. Things operate in cycles. That's why you're going to hear him say, nothing new under the sun. Just give it time. You know, old school comes back. Don't throw your clothes away. Just give it time. The style will come back. It comes back. He says, this is how the world works. Sun rises and sets, hastens to its place. It rises there again, blowing toward the south and turning toward the north. The winds continue swirling around, and in its circular courses, the wind returns. It says the weather patterns. It gets sunshine. It starts to rain. It gets windy. It stops being windy. He's talking about the routine of life. The rivers flow into the sea. They keep flowing into the sea, and yet the sea doesn't get fuller. And all these, here's his point in verse 8, are wearisome. And he says, it's just so predictable. How many times have you thought, I wish I could do something different? Wish I could go someplace different. What you're crying is, I wish I could break the routine. I wish I could break the routine. That's why people go to things to help them escape. He's going to talk about that too. They go to places, to people, to circumstances, to help them escape, to help them to forget the routine of life. He goes on to say in verse 8, these are wearisome to me. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. You hear his frustration. His mood, he's frustrated because he's in this place where with all the stuff he has, it ain't working. That which has been is that which will be, verse 9. I've seen this before. And so his point, verse 9, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? So let's get that in your head. Here's the preacher, the philosopher telling you, it ain't new. It's reconfigured. Is there anything of which one might say, see, this is new? Never been here before, never seen it before? Already it has existed for ages, which were before us, because anything new is used, it's only new because people have found a way to present it differently or get it to do things differently, but the raw material for it has always been around. Okay, so there's nothing new in terms of its core. It may be new in how it looks. It may get a new paint job. It says it's been here before. There is no remembrance, verse 11, of earlier things and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. You know, one of the bad thoughts about life is the idea of being forgotten. The reason why rich people will make big donations to projects is so they can get their name on them. One of the great fundraising tools is to get people who have resources to give to something so it can be named after them, because they do not want to be forgotten. They want to be remembered. He says in verse 11, where is the remembrance among those who will come later? How much do you remember about your grandfather, or maybe let's go back, one, your great-grandfather, or your great-uncle, or, I mean, there's a snippet here, there's a picture there. They're vague scenarios that you may remember, but in terms of the details, they dissipate and they disappear. He says, that's reality. He says, let me be cold and let me be real. This is a real deal. This is life under the sun. Under the sun, if you're trying to find life under the sun, you're going to be disappointed. Now, he's going to be real practical, because he's going to tell you, he's not expecting you to run into a cave. He's not expecting you to go into Never Never Land. He just wants you to look at life for what it is under the sun. Watch this. Then you won't expect from it what it can never give you. If you are looking for the meaning of life in life, you won't find life. If you're looking for the meaning of life in life, then you will not find life. And he says, if you check this thing out under the sun, in the place where real people live and work and talk and walk and play. Verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I have set my mind to seek and explore wisdom concerning all that has been done under the sun. I didn't search this thing. I didn't study this thing. Not only did I study it, search it out, I explored it. I tried it out. So I'm not just talking from what someone told me. I'm talking from what I tried. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. But God has given you a task that drives you nuts under the sun. Now, we're going to find out why he's given you such an empty task underneath the sun, that is where people live. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. So let me ask you, or let me give you a challenge. To understand this principle, he's given you a practical test. He says, if you want to understand my point, I want you to do something. I want you to strive after the wind. So here's the challenge. When you go outside tonight, when the wind comes by, I want you to plan this thing now. I want you to do this thing right. When the wind blows by, I want you to decide which piece of it you want to grab. Okay, well, just decide, okay, this next piece that blows my way, I'm going to get you. I'm going to own you. You mine. And then whatever piece of wind that blows by that you want, I want you to grab it. Now, hold it. I mean, hold tight to it. Don't lose it. The piece you want is the piece I want you to grab. Only to discover that the piece you grab, you lose when you grab it. Okay, but I don't want you to be discouraged, because he says, striving after the wind. Go get it. chase it down. Don't lose that wind. Don't lose that breeze. Don't lose that thing. Go get that thing. You come on now. You go get that piece of wind that you just reached for, grabbed, slipped out of your fingers. Come on, you're a better man, a better woman than that. Go get it. You'll never get it. Because as soon as you think you have it, you lose it. He says, he uses that to define life. He says, I've seen the works which men have done under the sun. I've seen men at their best. I've seen men at their worst. And it is striving after something they can't keep. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be counted. Verse 16, I said to myself, here we go. My boy talking to himself. He's going to do a lot of that. I said to myself, self, behold, I have magnified and increased with wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. I am the wisest man ever made, ever created, and my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. So I got the info. I got the 411. He says, and I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I done looked at the best way to do it and the worst way to do it, madness and folly. He says, I know I done the whole range of decision making. Okay. Made bad choices, good choices. So I've gotten the range down. And I realize even this was striving after the wind. Because in much wisdom, there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. And there's some things in your life you wish you didn't know about. You look at a child and they don't have information. And so when they get the information, then they become dangerous. He says, he looked at his empire, he looked at his experiences, and he says, there's got to be more than this.
Dr. Tony Evans, beginning his look at what Solomon learned during his search for meaning in life. Now, as I mentioned earlier, today's lesson is the first installment in a sermon series called How to Avoid a Wasted Life. And don't forget, for a limited time, we're offering the full-length version of all 9 lessons in this series on digital download, as well as on either CD or USB flash drive, along with a copy of Tony's book, Experiencing God Together, a look at how our connection with others can deepen our relationship with God. It's a powerful reminder that when we give His love away through everyday acts of kindness, forgiveness, and hospitality, we encourage His presence in new and meaningful ways. Call us to make the arrangements at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center never closes, so you can reach out any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org to take advantage of this special package. You'll find the details right on the homepage. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. The world says, work hard enough and you can have everything life has to offer. But Dr. Evans says there's a catch. The one thing life can't offer is a real life itself. Be sure to join us next time when we'll hear about a man who learned that lesson the hard way.